Podcasting 2.0 for July 16th, 2021, episode 46. We're sliding into your PMs. I still can't believe I get to do this every single week. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the board meeting for Podcasting 2.0. Everything going on at podcastindex.org, podcastindex.social. It is Friday once again. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of Hill Country, Texas, and in Alabama, the man who shows up in my PMs, my friend on the other end, Dave Jones, everybody.
I was listening to DH Unplugged. That's my Friday morning get ready for podcasting.
Oh, yeah, I can't listen to it anymore.
Why?
Because it doesn't work on the apps that I like.
Oh, yeah.
It won't play.
Well, there's that one problem.
And it really hurts. You know, I was like, yeah, I can go to the website and hit play, but it's not the same thing. So, you know, I'm going to have to get in Horowitz's face again.
Yeah. I like that podcast because Horowitz has such a... He's such a good podcaster, man. He has a great delivery.
Yeah.
He's just great. And so it gets me all fired up. But they were talking about movies. And, man, I miss movies. I miss going to the movies.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah.
I've never been a movie theater guy at all.
I just, you know, we watched that new movie with Chris Pratt.
Oh, that's supposed to be pretty good. What's it called?
No.
Oh, it's not good?
Oh, it is awful.
What movie is it?
It's called The Tomorrow War, I think.
Oh, you know what it is? A lot of No Agenda producers have been telling me to watch it because they say it's great. Tomorrow War, it's like we're fighting the whatever we're fighting, and it's all social justice warrior stuff throughout the entire movie.
I didn't really pick that up.
Oh, okay. Well, it's No Agenda. People are very sensitive.
Oh, they are. Yes. But I mean, like, no, this is the worst pile of steaming garbage.
Oh, goodness.
Do not waste your time.
I mean, what are you going to tell me next, that the new Marky Mark movie is no good too? I mean, that's going to crush me. Mark Wahlberg has a new movie. I like Mark Wahlberg. I toured with him. I like him.
I don't know anything about Mark Wahlberg. He's never been on my radar screen. He's like just one of those guys that's just floating around in the periphery. If I happen to see a movie with him on, I'm like, nah. Okay.
All right. Anyway, no, I'm sorry. I interrupted your flow. Yeah. Okay.
It is indicative of lower budget. We can get away with just throwing a bunch of cliches at a script, roll it out, and people will watch it. I mean, it's so bad. Like there will never be another Schindler's List made. Never. I just don't think so.
That's interesting. And is that the movie you go to when you're talking about? Is that your go-to best movie ever, or?
No, that wouldn't be the go-to. I would just say, like, it's an example of here's another one. There would never be another, what was that movie from a few years ago that they had, it was like a future time when men, where everybody was sterile and nobody could give birth anymore.
Oh, Handmaid's Tale?
No. It was like a war-torn thing. They were trying to get this kid through there. It was like a serious flick.
I really don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I'm not a movie buff.
But anyway, it was, I mean, like, these like, epics of cinema, they just, I don't see how they could be made anymore.
It's the same with music, although there's always valiant efforts, but... Once we went from CD to MP3, like, all right, that's what we're used to now.
Yeah. There will never be another, News of the World or something like that, that level.
Mm.
Yeah. Album.
Oh, no. Well, it's not going to, even vinyl, vinyl has certain compression that takes place and it's your audio chain. I used to be an audiophile. We all had the tube amps, the Marantz. The Techniques turntable, got to have a Revox reel to reel. Hold on a second.
Mr. Adam Curry.
Open up the door, Mr. Curry. Now.
I'm sorry. I stupidly left the door closed to the boardroom. I'm going to get everybody in here. Everybody in. All the developers.
Oh, nice.
They're here.
Box lunches on the table. the cookies are stale.
I have a question for you. Since we've been doing the show, let's see. It was probably a year ago this time that I was bored in the house, and I'm in the house bored, and we started working on understanding the Lightning Network. Mm-hmm. A lot has happened in that year. How's Clubhouse doing with that great podcast integration?
Does it still exist?
Exactly. You remember how everyone was going, oh, Clubhouse. Oh, we're all going to be on Clubhouse. All right, over there. We'll pick you up on Clubhouse. We're doing live on Clubhouse. And I think I was skeptical from the beginning.
Yeah, I think you were.
And this kind
of skeptical is an understatement.
It kind of ties into history, not necessarily repeating, but boy, is it rhyming with the RSS conversation again.
This was the week. This week was the tale of two articles.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, if you want to think about it, because you had an excellent, wonderful article about saving, about how podcasters need to save the medium from Evoterra.
Mm-hmm.
Great article. And then like 8 hours later, you had RSS is junk. Spotify is the way forward.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've never seen such a whipsaw from one extreme to another before.
Well, I think it was really two different conversations about two different things. The way I read Evoterra's post, which I'll link in the show notes, was, you know, the namespace 2.0, all these features that have popped up, which I think you and I were quite surprised by that as well. It's like, mm-hmm. You know, we thought, yeah, it was great. We'll have a namespace. There's a transcript. There's a couple things people want. We're going to put the value block in. For months and months, the value block was, although working, was on the back burner for everybody, and just all these features started popping up. And I think that's what Evoterra was pointing at more. And as I listened to the new media show with Todd and Rob, with Tanner Campbell, that seemed to be only about making money. And the only person who even has a little bit of experience with the value for value model is Todd. You know, I don't think the consultant Campbell had even tried it, but it seemed that that's all they were talking about was discoverability and monetization. And it kind of dawned on me. I understand where people come from. Like, yeah, with YouTube, the algo will pick up on trend or what people like, and it connects people. And if there's an audience for that particular video, actually, not even for a channel. Or a consistent podcast, so-called podcast, the algo whips that up, you know, and it gives you an audience, and then once you reach the threshold, you can start making some money, and then it's discoverability is kind of built into the monetization mechanism. With RSS, it's completely decoupled from that. It's two different things, and you know it's just. Oh man, the constant monetization, making money. Man, I was like, it's not really always about that. It can also just be about an enriching experience. That's what the namespace is really bringing. So it was, and I was surprised. I thought there would be, to me, because podcasting 2.0 came up in that conversation. And you know, I was like, oh no, I'm focused on creators. Well, this is podcasting 2.0 is for creators. Forget the value for value streaming payments for a second. Just look at what you can do with transcripts, with chapters, with clips, with or sound bites, with a trailer, with geolocation, person, etc. that's the stuff creators have really, really wanted. So it was kind of like everyone was, you know, just talking about different things. And in the meantime, I feel that a lot of people who are talking may not know much about what's actually going on.
Yeah, I think there's some of that for sure, that the details have gotten lost a little bit. I think to me, my sort of foundational issue with the whole debate was that the debate itself just doesn't make any sense, because it's billed as like a RSS versus Spotify,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of like saying HTTP versus Facebook. I mean, it's one's a protocol. The other one is a platform or a service. And so the whole argument doesn't really make any sense. I mean, if you step back, I mean, if you step back and look at it, what started the whole, how we got sort of roped into the whole thing was Tanner had pointed out on Twitter to me that only 15% of the podcasts in the index were active in the last 60 days. So you see this big number, 4 million, and then you look down and you see 600,000 podcasts, you know, have recently published an episode. And then, you know, then he went on to sort of pimp, you know, Spotify. But the problem is Spotify and its subsidiary Anchor are the ones that are responsible for almost all of that garbage.
That's the funny part.
Yeah. I mean, literally, I've got the latest.
Oh, he's got stats. He's got numbers. He's showing up with a spreadsheet.
Anchor has 1,667,977 podcasts in the podcast index.
Wow.
So almost half, close to half of the podcasts in the index are Anchor. And of those, I can tell you that only about 260,000 of those have published an episode in anything close to what you would call recent, like within the last few months. So the whole problem of if you want to boil discoverability down to sheer math, a sheer numbers game, then Anchor / Spotify is the worst offender out there.
Yeah, good point.
By a large margin.
But so there's kind of the point is, so there's two conversations. Let's put the monetization thing aside. There's RSS or no RSS. And the argument is always being made, well, you can do it better this way. It's a richer format with this. You know, it should be JSON. It should be Atom. It should be only Spotify. It should be only behind the Apple. Whatever it is, it's always about RSS going away. But the history, we need to remember the history. RSS was blogging. It was microblogging. Then it added podcasting. And Evan and Jack were very smart when they started Odeo. They were looking at creating a full podcasting experience, and they realized very quickly that if you don't control the feeds, if you don't control the distribution, you're really not going to have a business. So they took, and the first Twitter, as far as I know, was RSS based. You know, they had the huge overhaul at one point, and fail whales were just going out of control because guess what? Aggregating RSS feeds is very hard. It's not. Yeah, and so now there's this huge platform and that no one monetizes on, as far as I know, you know, creators, except for, you know, ancillary. And it's a closed system. They even kicked the developers out at a certain point because they wanted to control the experience. And that's how they became a multi-billion dollar company, by closing it off and having a walled garden. They knew it couldn't work. Google killed Google Reader to then go and create, I think it was, I don't know what it was. Was that Google? Was that Plus? Was that Google Plus? Was that Buzz? I think first. And that also didn't work. So it's the idea that you're going to have discoverability and monetization in one, or discoverability at all, is just a farce. That's also not how it's worked traditionally. It is, you bump into someone, you know, they listen to this. It's a lot of word of mouth. It's a lot of people who are promoting on your behalf, which I think is what I've learned how to harness, is the power of producers. You're seeing your audience as producers. But all this other stuff is like, holy crap, man, we're still talking about this? It won't go away. It's like Bitcoin in a way. You know, it's a honey badger. Like, okay, whatever, step on me. And I thought Todd in particular did a very good job defending his position, but also not for a second was he fazed. You know, didn't get frustrated, didn't get mad. He had the right. I was very impressed with that. But it kind of went off the rails when all it was about was podcasters want to make money. Well, you and I know that's not true. In fact, we took a vow of poverty to start this damn project.
I'll say this about Tanner. He was very kind to us in that interview. spoke, you know, his basic thesis is that we're just all wasting our time.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, he did say, you know, like I said, he was kind about it. He's like, hey, I respect everything they're doing. I think they're doing amazing technical work. I think it's great. He's like, I just, you know, essentially think they're wasting their time because, and what his whole thesis seems to really boil down to is at some point in the future, Spotify is going to create this algorithmic magic where mediocre or lower tier podcasts can be found and then get listens and then make, and then Spotify will pay them.
Yeah. The YouTube model.
But that's, and I won't repeat what, you know, Todd said, because I think Todd comparing that to YouTube showed that that's not feasible, that YouTube doesn't pay lower tier podcasts.
What did he say? 0.25% or something?
Yeah. Yeah. But when you think about what he's asking for is the same thing that people have been asking for a long time, is he wants or thinks somehow Spotify is going to create a creator economy middle class. And they're not going to do that.
Yes. Good point.
There's never been a creator economy middle class, and there never will be. And it sucks.
It was just like blog. You remember blogging? Oh, Andrew, what was his name? Andrew Sullivan. You know, he was taking subscriptions for his blog, and you know that he famously made $1 million. Mm-hmm. And everyone's, I'm blogging. Where's my money? And that's how he got all these crap display ads everywhere. That kind of kicked that off. But there was something a little. There's another piece to it, and it ties into the creator middle class. And you know how much I don't like the word creator.
Yeah. I wrote that down just to make
just to piss me off. Yeah, worst work. So the idea that you can just record a podcast and then you upload it to some system with magical algorithms and it does all the rest, the monetization, the marketing, etc. That's the farce. Look at Spotify's core business, music business. How did most of those people get there? By selling your own merch at your gigs, by booking your own gigs, by accepting to have the stupid drummer in the band because his dad owns the van. I mean, all of this stuff, printing up your t-shirts, doing your mailers, you know, sleeping at girlfriends' houses who would then go out and spread flyers. I'm describing the hairband lifestyle, but it's very similar for music. And you push and you push and you push and you make no money and you're starving. And then if you're lucky, I know many who have, you know, grassroots gone up and then could have their pick of the litter with some kind of monetization event in the form of a contract. But even a lot of the smart ones, look at where they wound up, not owning their stuff, not getting the right money. They have to fight the public, the performance rights organizations. And then large corporations, big technology, lobbies the U.S. Congress. They come up with statutory rates for what your product is worth on a per stream basis. If that's the future, then bye-bye. And you'll have a very limited, you won't have 600,000, you'll have 60,000, maybe. Maybe. So I don't think it ever will be a just go ahead, walk in, it all works perfect, and you're making money. That's a pipe dream.
Well, listen to Daniel Ek said this a few months ago, and he got a bunch of flack for it. The CEO of Spotify, he said, there's a narrative fallacy here combined with the fact that obviously some artists that used to do well in the past may not do well in this future landscape where you can't record music once every 3 to 4 years and think that's going to be enough. The artists today that are making it realize that it's about creating a continuous engagement with their fans. It is about putting the work in, about the storytelling around the album, and about keeping a continuous dialogue with your fans. He concluded, I feel really that the ones that the...
You're breaking up, Jim.
I fuzzed out.
Yeah.
He said, I concluded.
Take another hit. Quick, take another hit. It gets better.
I feel really that the ones that aren't doing well in streaming are predominantly people who want to release music the way it used to be released. And I mean, that is the CEO of Spotify basically saying, if you want to be successful in the creator economy, you've got to work your butt off. That's the way that it works now. There is no algorithm. The reason there's no algorithm that will do it for you is because it's not an algorithm issue. This is not whether or not you have listeners is not a function of an algorithm or discovery. What harms small podcasters in gaining listeners is not the algo, it's time. Mm-hmm. I rarely ever add a new podcast to my lineup because I'm maxed out already. I have a few podcasts that I listen to for work, and I have a few podcasts I listen to for pleasure. And that combined is so many hours of listening per week that I can't even listen to them all as it stands now. So that means that if I ever add anything to my existing lineup, it has to be truly mind-blowing, amazing content. And the difference between good and amazing is huge. It's not a matter of I say mediocre, and I don't mean it derogatory. What I'm saying is content that is not extremely good.
To you.
To me. That content, it can't get into most people's lineups because most people already have a lineup that is pretty solid, and an algorithm that just boosts random stuff to the top isn't going to change that. I mean, it's just not an algorithm issue to solve.
No, it's trying to shoehorn podcasting into something that it isn't. And it just doesn't work that way. You're right. Even from the basic at the basic consumption level, it's a very different experience. People tend to be very sticky if they get there, if they get to that point. But it's not like a subscribe to my YouTube channel and the algo will pop it up for you once in a while. It's a whole different beast.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, well, I was just going to say that RSS is 99% of what is already in Spotify. It's not like they're a silo. They're not. Spotify, their whole catalog is RSS feeds. They haven't turned off the spigot yet. And so when you're talking about quote unquote being on Spotify, 99% of the podcasts that are on Spotify came there from third party hosting, whether that's Anchor or all the other hosts. So RSS is the crux of what Spotify's doing. Mm-hmm. So I still don't understand what the real core issue is here. It seems like a misunderstand or a misstatement of who the two parties are. Because if you wanted to have your show on Spotify exclusively right now, you can't do that. Even if you create it on Anchor, you're still getting an RSS feed, and somebody like us will probably pick it up. You will end up being on multiple apps just by default. So your best bet, if you want to use all this mythical like Spotify goodness, why not go create your podcast on Fireside and then let it replicate to Spotify and just take advantage of it all. That way you're on Spotify, you get their magic, whatever that magic may be, and you get to be in every other directory and app also.
Yeah, but this is a Slack channel conversation, and I think it's been going on for a long time. And I don't know if anyone really cares. I do want to dispel one rumor. No agenda is used as a value for value example, and we pioneered it, I think. When someone says, yeah, but Adam Curry is a cult of personality, somehow meaning that, oh, of course, I'm famous. No. What started as a 20-minute Skype call has now lasted 14 years. We grew very slowly, maybe 15% year over year. Had to sell possessions to feed myself during it. And it, 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 at the time, even today, Cult of Personality. Now, it started off as washed up VJ and some old tech dude. You know, this was not the kind of marketing you're looking for. So it's just,
and those early shows from when y'all first started, the sound quality was poor. I mean, they were not anything like what people understand the No Agenda show to be like today.
No, but that grew, and that's exactly my point. Is it grew? We started to understand, and that may be for just a few people. It's very possible that not everybody can do that. Well, you may be able to sing, but it doesn't mean you belong on Spotify with getting money.
Well, think about the biggest cult of personality that there is, the Obamas. I mean, that they would classify as a cult of personality to pretty much anybody with a brain. So.
Mm-hmm.
And they spun off. They're not exclusive with Spotify anymore. Yeah. They're RSS feeds now. They left the silo.
We can only guess why.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's your example of a podcast that, I mean, that's never talked about anymore. Another cult personality, I mean, these are political people, but, you know, Bill Clinton, he's got a podcast with the Clinton Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So does
Hillary.
None of these ever show up in the top spots. So, what I mean, just because you have a name or a cult of personality at some point in your life doesn't mean that you instantly get audience.
That's absolutely
true. It's not given to you. You have to pay the dues just like everybody else does and earn that audience.
One other thing I learned, that Spotify deplatforms shows weekly.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, that was surprising. That was surprising to me.
Uh-huh. I'm not sure what that's about. Well, anyway, the news this morning, I think, puts everybody on notice. I think it's much bigger news than people realize. And this is the acquisition of Pocket Cast by Automattic, by WordPress.com.
Give me your initial impression of that.
I know Matt. We were both in San Francisco. In fact, we lived in the same building in San Francisco when I was doing Pod Show. He was just starting. I think he had some transaction event. I don't know if he raised money or what it was. And he's very, very sweet, soft talking man. And we've exchanged emails over the course of the years. Maybe just a, hey, check it out, whatever. I don't, you know, but not an intent. I definitely have not communicated with him for at least a decade. Of course, I sent him an email this morning congratulating him because the way I see it, they have as far as I know, a very good business with WordPress.com. Now, they also, they purchased something else. What else did they purchase? Something that was not working well.
You're talking about Tumblr.
Tumblr, right. Yeah. Tumblr. So, you know, Tumblr is great for them because that's an RSS-based acquisition, the way I see it. Tumblr always had RSS feeds. I don't know if they still do. I think so. And they had kind of a publish-subscribe mechanism, as far as I know, based on RSS, or at least architected around RSS. So WordPress has a lot of things in one. And depending on what you're doing, it has, you know, server hosting, it has a publishing platform, it has a content management system, there's plugins. In fact, there's an excellent plugin for podcasting 2.0 that you can add. And bringing that full circle, having a podcast app, successful in that people use it financially, it's been a disaster for the investors. They've lost a lot of money. I think NPR owned a piece of them or all of them at some point. So that's, you know, clearly this is a fire sale.
Yeah.
But what an opportunity to bring a complete different experience than any other quote unquote major app. Pocket Cast, I would say, is very popular. It's up there. Would you say it's Overcast level?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's a major app. Yes. 100%.
So it would make sense to differentiate by having a hosting platform, and with that I don't mean necessarily where your file is, but a hosting platform that delivers new features to an app that you either brand or co-brand, or at least, you know, is integrated. Mm-hmm. And if he's not thinking podcasting 2.0 with the namespace, I'm going to have to go out to San Francisco and stand in front of his door. Because it's a logical move. I mean, that's the differentiator right there. And holy crap, that would, I think that would stir some stuff up.
Oh yeah, I do. I think that was probably the greatest outcome for that app that anybody could have hoped for within the open RSS community. Is this some, you have, now you have an owner instead of the app dying, which would have been terrible. You know, everybody hates to have a, it's because there's a lot of Pocket Cast users who are just really dedicated to that app, just like there are with, you know, Overcast users, and each individual app has their own sort of following. Podfriend is developing a big following. There's a lot of people that are just really like that app. And then Podverse too. I see a lot of Podverse people come, you know, being really committed to that app. Phone Boy loves that app.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you have an app with a following, I mean, for it to die is just terrible. Nobody wants that to happen. And the one thing with Pocket Cast that I saw that never made any sense was how much money they spend. I mean, oh my God.
Hey, what were they spending it on?
Oh gosh, it was millions, I think. I mean, whatever their loss was, like their annual loss or quarterly loss, was like a staggering amount of money. And I was like, wow, how in the world are they spending this much money? And so I don't know, you know, of course, nobody knows what's going to happen in an acquisition, but if Automattic can take that and trim whatever needs to be trimmed in order to make their budget sane and sustainable, and then on top of that, commit that app to the open RSS ecosystem and all of its features, new features moving forward, I mean, that's a great outcome for everybody.
I think it's huge, and I think a lot of people should pay attention. And actually, this comes right on the heels of an interesting conversation I had this week. Yeah, so I can talk about this. I'm not going to tell you who he is because we didn't discuss me disclosing it, but it's not that hard to figure out, and the whole point is I want to put people in touch with him. It's a venture capital firm that has pretty much exclusively... They created a fund exclusively for Lightning projects. And so they have investments in a lot of the wallets, you know, Voltage, Breeze. You know, they invest in the future of Lightning. And I spoke to one of the three partners, and he sought me out. And, you know, we were just chatting, and it kind of dawned on. It was kind of, I love, by the way, this is my favorite kind of meeting where a venture person says, "It doesn't sound like you need any money." I said, "No, no, we're not looking for any either." He said, "Well, okay. Well, what can I do?" He actually had three questions. I don't have them here, but he said, "What would move the needle? What would really make a difference?" And then I said, "Well, you know, there's a lot of app development that may or may not, you know, I'm sure there's people who would love to take investment for that, but maybe no one wants to." Say, but really where the biggest problem lies, and he's an old infrastructure guy at heart from the cloud storage days. He said, so there's all, you know, why is not everything adopted? So, well, it's, you know, it's a big deal to make changes within a hosting company to the workflow. You know, if it's really tricky, if you mess one thing up, you could have 100,000 customers whose feeds break, you know, just slightly is a huge issue. I said, really what the hosting companies do is they spend a lot of time on education. And that's why I believe there's loyalty to those companies. And he said, well, he says, I do, you know, seed investments. Said, can you find for me a host that, you know, that $50,000 or $100,000 would make a difference for? To then become completely podcasting 2.0 compliant, including value block. I don't know exactly. There's got to be 25 at least hosting companies, and I have no idea. We don't know even but a fraction of them. But if you have a hosting company and you're interested, email me, adam@curry.com, and I'll put you in touch with them. I just thought that was like, wow. You know, that I think that would be... It would be great for me to be able to say, you know, here's all the podcast companies that have 2.0 features.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one that has them all.
That would help. So, you know, that's the big pushback from hosting companies is, I mean, like, we're going to do this stuff, but really there's that, you know, the whole waiting for adoption angle, which mm-hmm. is always an issue. Mm-hmm. But then also, like, I mean, how can we justify spending this much dev time in order for it to put in a feature that we're just not sure that we're going to get any traction on.
Right.
And so, but if somebody shows up and says, oh, here's $50,000, or here's $100,000, that changes the dynamic. Well, and then all of a sudden you can justify the time.
Well, it's interesting because I said, you know, we have a couple companies we work with who are very, very proactive, very progressive. They've really integrated a lot. I'm very, very proud of that. Mm-hmm. He says, oh, so I know this is exactly, he says, I was going around for years selling cloud hosting, and he would typically hear, well, you know, this is 10-year infrastructure. It ain't broke. We don't really want to fix it. You know, all the things that we've heard different versions of, not from all, but different versions of. He said, but then when it took off, it commoditized almost overnight. People didn't even know it, how fast that went. Yeah. And when that happened, a lot of players went away.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. That's the other thing, is it's not just about being forward looking. It's about being able to spot the one thing that you need to possibly pivot to. I mean, and that's harder. That's a harder thing to do, because you get, you know, okay, well, our business has been going for 15 years and we're still cruising.
Sure.
We don't, you know, well, I mean, you know, this is, we don't have to think about this, or we're just going to sit back. I mean, and that really can bite you overnight. I don't know who, you know, nobody knows the future, but no, I mean, that's cool, man. That would be amazing to have a host pop up and do that, to be sort of full stack podcasting 2.0.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be incredible.
I mean, I'm sure he has a interesting portfolio. So, you know, there's all kinds of companies that could help with, you know, how far they want to go with the Lightning stuff, but at least get the value block in.
Yeah. You know, I've been working with a guy in the Bitcoin world too. He's super jazzed about this, about the whole, you know, Lightning ecosystem stuff. And so we, you know, I've been just chatting with him on Telegram, and he has been talking about, you know, he says, this is magical, being able to pay people right in the app as you listen and as you enjoy their content, you're responding with value. And he said, it's just amazing. He loves it. And so, I mean, there are real people with real money and influence who are out there looking to further this, that specific technology, because it meets their ideals, mm-hmm. It meets their business goals, and all kinds of various things. So it may look to some of the podcasting world, and the podcasting world doesn't really understand Bitcoin very well. It may look to the podcasting world that the crypto side of the podcasting 2.0 stuff is just sort of aspirational hobbyist type thing, but I think it's a little more concrete than people understand.
It's a huge company. Well, huge. There's a well-funded company behind the Lightning Network, not behind it, but behind the protocol.
Yeah.
There's, gosh, I forgot how much money was in the, I saw the number the other day. It's like 1,000 Bitcoin or something. It's got to be $300 million that we know of that's in node liquidity. Hold on a second, Dave. 38 minutes.
Here's your cue to boost.
Come on.
You know you want to.
Who else?
Whoa.
What?
Well, I've got, I've brought Cane Baron gifts.
Uh-oh.
ISO boost.
Boost! Nice! Hold on, it's going right into the rack. Ah, excellent.
Boost!
We got this one, of course. We still have the Fauci.
Boost.
That is our buddy Kyle Hebert, the voice actor and host of the Intergalactic Boombox.
Ah, I thought I recognized that undertone.
Yeah, no, that guy's a badass. He's awesome. He sent me a bunch of stuff. I'm going to trickle them out to you.
All right, it's now in the rack. It gets the orange color.
He's got a color code.
Yeah, all the booths have orange color. Of course, are you crazy? Of course. Course.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you with that, but
no, that's all right.
I think that, so for me, this has been a great week with, there's money out there for a small hosting company. It would have to be small. I'm sure you know, the guys we know that the $100,000 for a piece of their company is beyond any reality. You know, they're much more valuable than that for a seed round, but there may be someone out there. And then the WordPress Pocket Cast, boom. I mean, what an opportunity. And I can't see any reason, you know, even if you leave the value block out of it, what an opportunity to differentiate and with a large audience and really show what can be done.
Do you want to talk about some namespace stuff? Because we I got a bunch of stuff to talk about. Let's see. I mean, we're gearing up. We're sort of got to think about phase four now.
Wait, you know what? Before we do that, just one other topic. Since I did the boost and I called the time, you have made something so obvious and so beautiful. And I see this morning that I've already received a number of PMs. This is the payment message. And yes. I mean, I'm seeing stuff coming in. I mean, this is someone posted. Someone did it.
They posted. They posted.
What? There it is. There's our word. You got a boost. You got a post. who is this? Hello, gentlemen. You have the pleasure of getting the first boost message ever from PodFriend. Well, technically, this is the third, but only because I didn't grab a screenshot of the first two. So that's from Martin.
Did this just come in?
Just came in. Yeah. Yeah. Martin's testing. Exactly. Nice. There it is. I love you, podcasting 2.0. And it has a timestamp there, although only for nerds. So this will be 1 hour and 10 minutes, okay? But nerds would say 80 minutes.
Oh, I can't tell. I can't get the sats. The sats are blank.
Oh yeah. Wow.
That's okay, so that means that Martin. See, we should be doing this show live. We should be giving live tutorial feedback.
Well, I have a feeling that is within our imminent future.
I think so too.
Seems like people are developing that way. So yeah, and that may be a perfect. Anyway,
no.
So just tell us what you've done, because this is quite magical. Where you're just sitting alone at home, an email comes in. It says you have a payment message. You got a post. And
this is not gonna, that needs to be eradicated.
And it gives you the timestamp. It should give us the number of satoshis. It has a user alias, the app name, and a message. And okay. and that alerts you on email when it comes in. Now that there's a triple joy to that. One, I just someone is listening to my product at this very moment and liked it so much they sent something. That's a crazy feeling.
I'm responding to Martin on the Mastodon that we got his message.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we got it. Okay, so what if anybody has no idea what we're talking about?
Yes, that's what I was going for.
The payment message is. You can see it right now in CurioCaster, and Martin's baking it in as well. So you go to CurioCaster, go to the podcast that you want to send a payment to, and then let's say you want to make a donation. Okay, so you're listening. You got a favorite podcast. You want to go and just give them some money, just like you would with PayPal or Buy Me a Coffee or Patreon or blah blah blah. You go and you find that podcast on CurioCaster. You got your wallet set up there with your sats in it. Then you can hit the payment message button and it comes up and you can say, okay, I want to give them this many sats. And here's my name. You can put in a nickname or a moniker. And then here's a message. And you can type up to like 500 characters of a message. It's just like a PayPal donation.
Yeah.
You put that in there.
Only you don't have to log in. Doesn't open your browser.
Yeah.
Right there in the app. Click message, boom, done. And it comes in as an email. I love it. It's so simple, but yet, oh my God.
On the tech side, so what's happening is that message comes into our node with the that payment comes in, and it's got a TLV payload, which is like the TLV is a time length
variable
value. I can't remember what I forgot what the acronym stands for, but it's an encoded value. It's a hex encoded value. And so all that data comes in, and it's basically just a blob of JSON. And then we once every 5 minutes, we pull the latest transactions from our Lightning node and parse out all the TLV records. And then if one of them has the message field and the name field, it would be send, I think it's called sender name. And then there's another one, and this is the one that Martin is missing. Another field is value MSAT total. That means the value, the total value in millisatoshis.
Right.
If those three fields are present, we get a message over it, converts it to an email and sends it to us with the message, the name of the sender, the app it came through, and the total sats donated. And it's just like getting a PayPal donation. It is awesome.
Did you see we got an actual donation with a note?
Yeah, I saw this. It's in the stack.
Okay,
it's
good. All right. I wasn't going to give it away because when that came in, I was like, oh, okay. Boom. Boom. Yep. What are we doing here? This is crazy.
I know. It's nuts, man. I'm so excited about this.
Let's just stand here for a second, Dave. Congratulations, man. What a great job. That's so cool. But less than a year. Look at this.
No, it's nuts. I mean, and it's so cool to have so many other app developers that are sort of sharing the vision, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is great. I'm going to go do it. And it's like this instant feedback mechanism. It's so fun.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
So maybe that's a good jumping off point to get into namespace, since this is namespace related.
Well, I mean, in general, we just got to think of, I'm thinking about what's the goal for phase four, and the natural one is comments.
And by the way, James Cridlin, there's no bun fight over...
What's a bun fight, anyway?
It's something British guys do. You don't want to know.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He said on Podland, oh, comments sounds great, but it sounds like there's a disagreement between the developers. We're going to do chat or comments. I think that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's not really a fight. That's just a recognition that we were talking about two different things.
Which was fantastic, because that we didn't have to have a big meeting. We didn't have to have all hands. We're confused. It worked out. It was nice. I like that.
By the way, I like to hear Sam Sethi call it a baseball match. That's a pretty fun Britishism.
Well, that's
it's because, a baseball game. It's because everybody, a baseball match.
It's because everybody knows that cricket takes 4 days and eight times you got to have tea, and no one wants to deal with it. So we prefer nine innings. Done.
I think the battle, if there is one, really boils down to, I guess it would be two things: whether to do it at all, and I think, and that's got reasons. And then if we do it, how are we going to do it in a way that is responsible? Because those are two sort of related topics. Because if you're doing comments, if you're doing decentralized comments, and this is where Alex got upset yesterday, if you're doing decentralized comments, you have to understand that you are creating something that has the potential to launch things out into the universe that you cannot take back. So if I put out, we're used to Twitter and YouTube, where you can post a comment and then decide that you regret that comment and delete it or edit it. Mm-hmm. But in a decentralized system like Mastodon, for instance, we think that's happening, but that doesn't necessarily have to happen. So if I could create a Mastodon server today, go in, edit the code, and have my Mastodon instance not honor the removal of posts. And therefore, I would see everything for all time, and you can't delete it.
Right.
So there has to be a recognition amongst everybody who works on this that is a reality of the situation when it comes to ActivityPub. Now, we can make some other thing that potentially is able to to work around that. But I'm not sure what the appetite for creating something from scratch to that level is. So there, the only solution, quote unquote, there really is no solution to that specific problem. But the only thing that we need to make sure of is that if we do it, we have to build in lots of safeguards where people fully understand that that's the case when they do it.
Okay. So that's interesting because I think that conversation started with moderation, the topic of moderation.
Yeah.
And who moderates, etc. And as far as I know, it evolved to, okay, you can say, yes, I want comments on my podcast or no. And I think that's something that if you should be able to determine that in your feed, like a robots.txt file. And otherwise, if you say yes, then it is what it is and you get it. The problem or the potential problem I see is spam. Not moderation, but spam.
I think that there are I think there's multiple problems. Like, so it's not yes, spam and moderation. There's also just mess ups. So suppose that I've done this. You think you're typing in one box and you're typing in something else on the screen. You type something else and you hit enter.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like, yeah, you can accidentally type something that you completely do not want the universe to see.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that you can't take it back is kind of a big deal. And that falls outside of the moderation issue.
Yeah, it does.
It's like, oh, crap. Now what do I do? It's sort of like, it's like sending a text message or an email. Once it goes out, you can't get it back. It's there. So what will happen is wherever the locus of control ends up being, if we're talking about ActivityPub, in ActivityPub, the sort of root node for a podcast episode,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it resides with a podcaster on their system, then one of these mistakes are made where somebody accidentally posts something that they didn't mean to, that podcaster has to understand they're going to get blown up with that person frantically trying to get them to take that off.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't this the exact point that this is where I think Alex got frustrated? He says, that just won't be possible. That's not how it's going to work.
Or yes.
He actually said, no one listens to me. I'm out. I hope he's coming back.
He is. Yeah, no, he is. When it comes to a topic this sort of challenging, there are going to be constant misunderstandings.
Yeah, but we got the group for it though, man. I'm proud of this group working through it.
Yeah, I mean, you should have seen some of the stuff that some of the flame war epic meltdowns that happened on the EC2 for Poets mailing list.
Oh my goodness. This is so calm, civil. Yeah.
I mean, this was an every other day occurrence that somebody was calling somebody an ugly word and saying, I'm out. I mean, so this doesn't bother me. These flare ups don't bother me at all.
Well, you're an IT guy. You've dealt with this.
Yeah. Well, it's almost necessary. So there has to be a necessary tension between one group that says, oh man, I really want to create this really cool thing. And another group that says, let's not create a 10-headed monster.
Yeah.
There has to be that tension. And for each different thing that we do, that group can switch sides.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is good. It's necessary to have this tension and to have these sort of flare-ups because it lets you know that this is serious. And I'll give you a perfect example. I was gung-ho on payment messages and just going, boom, 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 let's do this. And Cridlin jumped in and just made a big deal about the harassment thing. And at first I was annoyed by it. And I was like, oh, get over it. But then, you know, the longer he went on, I thought, you know what? This is really important to him. If it's that important, I need to stop and listen. And so we stopped, we listened, we slowed down, and I think we came up with a better solution that's going to protect most of his concerns. So that is, having these flare-ups is good because it really does sort of shock you, you know, like slaps you awake and says, okay, all right, wait, let me slow down and make sure that I'm not letting my passion override the what could possibly be legitimate concerns from other people.
I agree. And I had a similar reaction. My reaction was more of, oh, it would have been nice if you said, great idea. Here's a concern I have. But that's British. Yeah. You know, the British, sometimes the Dutch have weird approaches too. So I understand that. I agree. And I think we did come up with an elegant solution. I don't know if it's all fleshed out yet, but I like the idea of a threshold, it's interesting. You know, when we first started talking about comments, we were looking at the Sphinx tribe model, which is, you know, completely not scalable for what we're talking about. But the idea that you pay, I mean, it's basically what we're doing now is you want to send a message to the podcaster, you're paying for it. And whether it's one Satoshi or 1,000 Satoshis, the message payload will still go and still come in unless, and this is what I like, is a threshold. So, well, you know, if you want to send me a message, and this in a weird way comes back to an old idea that I think Bill Gates and a couple other Silicon Valley guys had way back when spam on email became a problem. Oh, we have to have, you know, a way like a digital stamp. Do you remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And of course, it was completely not doable. But here it is. I mean, this closed loop by itself is interesting. And the idea that
it wasn't doable then, but it did become, the concept was pointed out and it became something that was doable, like DKIM.
Like what?
DKIM, like DKIM. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's perfect. And that's why I think the payment message is a beautiful enhancement. It's a super idea. And there's, you know, this enormous back end fun we can have with that data, and it just fits so perfectly into the value for value model in general. But you're so right. And so now we have, I don't think we've quite gotten through all the comment stuff yet, and I don't think we're quite ready for namespace, but the leaders in the space, and this is what I like, is of course Castopod. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to ask anymore. Castopod and Martin doing, as far as I know, the first app implementation. This is very exciting. When that stuff happens, it's like, okay, stand back. Magic sparks are going to fly.
Yeah. Well, this is what I was kind of talking about on the last show, was that there's a little bit of, we have to have somebody do an implementation first, I feel like.
Yeah.
Alex has also said that he's going to write a blog post about it, detailing sort of where he's coming from.
Yeah, he also has a lot of experience in this, of course. I didn't want to leave him out.
Yeah, and so I think that will be really good. I'm waiting sort of on that to see what happens with this, because I don't even know really what to document yet.
Right.
I watched the dev meeting and I understand it, and I did some more digging on ActivityPub this week and played around with a little bit of code, and it all makes a lot of sense. It's just, we are going to have to see an implementation first, and then listen a lot, and see what needs to happen. There's other stuff we can do in the meantime that's not another Alex proposal, and this is one he's been batting around for a while in various forms, and I think I finally understand it now. Is the podcast medium tag?
This is so we can understand if it's a video, if it's a song, if it's a podcast, if it's a PDF or whatever.
Yeah. So I'll just sort of read a little bit of what his proposal was. He says, this helps solve the is about problem, where a category on its own is otherwise too ambiguous. And he says, this tag tells the application what the content contained within the feed is, as opposed to what the content is about, in the case of a category.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, if this tag is not defined, the medium should default to podcast. So that's the default. Mm-hmm. And so I think that last little bit, where he says, if the tag's not defined, the medium should default to podcast. To me, that's when the light bulb went on. I think I finally understand what he means, mm-hmm. because what he's not defining different types of podcasts. He's defining different types of meat of content that can be delivered in the XML podcast, quote unquote podcast way, but they're not a podcast, mm-hmm. like in the sense of what we all think one is. And so he gives a few examples. Let's see. So obviously the default is podcast. Another example of a medium would be music. And he describes that as a feed of music organized into an album, mm-hmm. with each item, a song within the album.
Abel Kirby is hitting the boost button real hard right now.
He better be. I helped him set up his feed this morning. He says, music has existed as a medium for a very long time, and dedicated music applications already exist. So this is a good justification. Video, and he describes that as like a podcast, but used in a more visual experience. Another one is film. He says that specific types of video with one item per feed. And then he also gives audiobook, specific types of audio with one item per feed.
Oh, yes, of course, audiobook, yep.
So I think this makes a lot of sense, and I would like to do this in phase four, because it lets the app know in advance what they're getting themselves into when they begin to render the content of this podcast.
Well, exactly. And if it's a film or documentary, which this may actually be needed to move the Breeze WebLN documentary mm-hmm. project forward. Mm-hmm. Cause that's stuck. Maybe Roy stopped loving me. That's also possible.
Well, did you, the new beta of Breeze said it had some LN URL stuff.
Now LN URL is different from WebLN.
Oh, I'm sorry. I get confused every time.
Yeah. 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 And they're going to do it. I know that they've been doing the LN URL, but the reason I bring it up is you might want to present that differently on the screen, letterbox, you know, full screen. There's a whole bunch of different things that you could assume or that would make sense. Maybe even a different skin, you know, an audiobook may have to be presented differently than a podcast with different features in different places, or maybe the chapter list on the side open. I mean, a notes list, you know, a notepad for taking notes, annotations, a lot of different things. It could be anything. And if you know what it is in advance, then the podcast player, the app can transmogrify into something, into an experience that is more appropriate for audiobooks.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. The audio or a feature film, mm-hmm. you know, something like that. I mean, those all have different needs, even to the point where how you display the transcripts. Do you want to put them on, you know, like on a show notes style, what do you call it? Like a tab, or do you want to overlay it as subtitles on the film? Mm-hmm. So you have all these different considerations. I think having something that gives the app a hint
is a good idea.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. It's a good mm-hmm. idea. Do you want to do some more namespace stuff before we thank some people?
I don't know. It's up to you. You can call the shots.
Boost.
Does that mean we're thanking people?
We're thanking people right now. This is a value for value project. The whole thing.
All right.
The podcast, the servers, the Mastodon, everything that goes on here is value for value. We're very, very proud to have supporters who even have subscriptions consistent. It's incredibly kind. Everybody is supporting the show. A number of ways to do it. You can go to podcastindex.org, go down to the bottom, and click on the big red donate button to send some cuck bucks our way. Now, whatever you send, make it meaningful to you. I love people sending a number that they're passionate about or that they think is they're superstitious about. But it's just as good for someone to say, here's $5 I saved. That is equally as meaningful as any other amount. And that's really the beauty of it. You send back the value that you receive from the entire project. Now, we also have a number of ways to contribute with the Lightning Network, and maybe we go straight to our first Lightning payment message donation.
Okay.
Because that was just exciting when I saw that come in this morning. Oh, okay. We hadn't even asked for it yet, but here it is.
Came in through CurioCaster. It's Stephen Bell. He gave us 20,000 sats, $6.36. He says, thank you for your courage and thank you for your coding. Can you please defrag me?
You've been defragmented. Of course, we defragment on demand. You know what was cool about that? It was seeing the 20,000 Satoshis. It's interesting. You just translated that for me. It didn't even matter. I was like, 20,000 Satoshis, that's a lot more than a podcast normally gets for a boost. I'm not even translating it anymore. I'm in Sats world, baby.
It's like it's like Dutch. It goes right to the brainstem.
Yeah. You know, there's something to that. There's something to that.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, we've got, thank you so much.
First ever official
first
donation.
First poop poost.
No, stop. Okay, so
Sorry.
I don't know how to pronounce this name. Thierry. Terry? Is it just Terry?
Thierry. Okay, it's from France.
I did a Google image search, and I just put that word Terry in there, and it was, men and women both came back. So this had helped me not at all. So I have no idea if this is a man or a woman.
That's true.
But whoever they are, they gave us $100.
Wow.
And no note.
Well, we need a note because you get a t-shirt for that.
I know. So Terry Bregant, if you are out there, let us know.
Yeah. Those t-shirts are quite good, I must say, quality-wise.
They are.
They wash well. They keep their color. Mm-hmm. I like it. It's not bad.
I'm not cutting the grass in mine. I'm keeping it in good shape.
Oh, yeah. No, I only take this out to fancy restaurants.
That's right. Reservation only.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Keefe gave us $50. No note again.
Wow. Baller.
Yeah. Thank you, Martin.
Nice.
Don't know where Martin's from. Let's see. Dreb Scott. $46 episode number donation.
Ah!
He says, go podcasting.
Yeah, excellent. Wait, I had to fail on that one.
Go podcasting!
Yeah. And did you see the Sharknado album art that he did?
After we were talking about, it was Shorsnado.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, and it was fantastic. And he's like, "I'm not much of an artist." Well, it worked. It was beautiful.
Worked for me.
Very, very punk rock. Yeah, Dreb Scott does the chapters and cloud chapters and chapter art for every podcast I'm doing, and this one is no exception.
I know he probably rolls his eyes every time I say this, but I swear one day he is going to run a podcast chapter creation service and make lots of money.
Yeah, I think you're right. You've mentioned this, and he's got the process down. He could farm it out to people, pay them in Satoshis for a number of chapters they made. You're so right. And holy crap. I mean, we already have him in the value block split.
Mm-hmm.
He gets 5% of everything.
I asked him out of curiosity this morning. I was like, so how many sats do you have? Or how much sats are you getting? And he said he checked his node, and he said currently he hasn't taken sats out for about 2 weeks, and he's got around 90,000 sats in his node. So that's about $30 for over two weeks.
Wow!
If I'm understanding right, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean that's not bad. That's really not bad at all.
Yeah, and considering that, you know, what he does is, I mean, the worst part of the job is you have to listen to the shows.
It is the worst part.
But using Hypercatcher, it's super easy because you're listening to the show. You say, click, okay, I'm going to do a chapter here, to a chapter here, to a chapter here. You go back into Hypercatcher studio. By the way, where's David Norman?
David Norman hates us.
Okay.
Because he had a baby.
Oh, never compete against babies. It's a bad, bad business decision.
Martin Morrison, do not have children. We need you.
that guy seems like he's primed, man. He just doesn't look like the Nordic guy who's going to have 15 children looking just like him. The Martin Van Trapp family.
Martin Jr. Martin Jr. number two, number three, number four. Even the girls are named Martin.
Everybody's a Martin. Yeah.
Anthony Tomaszewski, and I'm sure I got that wrong, gave us $20.
Thank you very much.
No note. Oh.
By the way, if for the t-shirt, you know, just keep track of your donations, and when you've reached $100, let us know. Yep. If you're interested, we'll be happy to send you one of our fancy t-shirts.
Mike Dell. Everybody knows Mike.
Yeah, everyone knows Mike.
Mike sent us $10.73. I'm not sure if that's a numerology or not.
73 could be a ham radio 73s. Yeah. Kilo 5 Alpha cool. Charlie.
KC4 NXA. Yes. Ooh,
that's a good call. KC4 NXA. I like that.
Yeah, I'm an old one. But he says, I'm a ham too. K8 LMJ.
See?
And he says, I did the first ham radio class via podcasting. The ham radio pod class is what he called it.
Excellent. So,
yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
He sent me a message the other day and said, hey, if you want to get, you know, recertify, we can get a few guys together and certify you at podcast movement in Nashville.
There you go. Well, you could read the questions on the plane ride down and be fine.
Yeah. I'll have Melissa drive and I'll read the book on the way.
You should go straight for general, really.
Really?
I regretted not doing general because I did the ham radio license real briefly. You basically get a license to learn. The test is available online, the current test, with the current answers, but on the test you get, the three multiple choice answers will be out of order. So it's really not that difficult, even if you just have a very basic understanding of the operation of ham radio. Mm-hmm. For the general, there's, you know, it's a longer test, there's more questions, but the same adheres. It's, you know, you can take the test and there's the questions in a jumbled up order. And I remember taking the technicians, the guy said, there's so much time left, you want to take the general? And I said, I hadn't studied for it, and I missed it by two, I think. Oh, and wow. Then I had to wait a month before the next the next licensing session. And then I aced that one as well.
You know, the thing that always messes me up is where you convert meters to megahertz.
So you have the 2 meter band being 144 mega, the 144 or 145 megahertz.
Right. Yeah. For some reason, the measurement of distance rather than cycle count always messes me up.
Right. And I think it's, you divide it by what, 300,000 million and then times the apex of the moon and the speed of light.
Yeah. Something like that.
I just know instinctively 20 meters, 14 kilohertz, above the 14.
John Chigi posted something the other day about social distancing, and it was like engineer social distancing. I don't know if you saw that. It was like, instead of 6 feet apart, it's like 150 megahertz divided by three or something like that. Let's see here. We got Brittany Tanksley gave us $10.
Thank you, Brittany.
No note. There's an epidemic of no notes today.
Yeah. Well, you know, they can just choose to send it through a payment message, and the note is easy, and mm-hmm. it's easy to send, and PayPal doesn't take anything, and
we get a chuckle every time it happens.
We get more than a chuckle; it's like a little jolt of joy.
Jeffrey Rutherford took out a $5 a month subscription with no note. Thank you very much, Jeffrey.
Thanks.
Jeff. Subscription's always helpful. And Jeremy Gerds also took out a $5 a month subscription. Thank you, Jeremy.
Nice, thank you.
And we've got some monthly donors that hit this week. And let's see. The rundown is David Norman, the Phantom.
Oh, okay. Now, this is a subscription, so he could be actually dead, and it's just still coming off his card.
So we've got maybe a year and a half until his card expires. We're good. Okay.
Hey, Roland. Yeah. Thanks, David. I hope the baby's fine, man. Send us pictures.
Yeah. Come back. Paul Saltzman. You know Paul, right? Didn't you say you know Paul?
Paul forever, yeah.
at $22.22.
Thank you, Paul.
Derek Visker, $21. Damon Kasajak. I'm sorry, Damon. I'm going to butcher your name every month forever. $15. Soren Mueller, $10. Jeremy Kavanaugh, $10.
Hey, well done on the Soren. Well done.
Oh, thank you.
An O with a line through it.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm good at this stuff. Chris Cowan, $5. And Thomas Sullivan Jr., $5.
Excellent. Well, we thank you all very much for supporting Podcasting 2.0, the podcast. But, you know, the board meeting is just the weekly summary where we report back to you and let you know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it feels like we need... Oh, again, thank you. You can do a payment message, or you can, which is Satoshi's Lightning Network, or you can go to podcastindex.org and hit the big red donate button. Actually, we want to get back in the namespace because we kind of left it off last week, and I want to make sure we do enough.
Yeah, play this first. I got a couple of ones on clips I want to play though. These are just let's see, play. First, this one was from Pragmatic, and I just want to, because it's sort of the donation segment, and we've talked about value for value and that kind of thing lately, I want people to hear what a great idea it is. How am I going to say this? I would like to hear what it sounds like when you ask your audience to be part of Podcasting 2.0. So play How It's Done, Pragmatic, John Chigi.
We're edging closer to our monthly goal to go advertising free across the network, but we can only do that with your help. Pragmatic is also a Podcasting 2.0 enhanced show, and with the right podcast player, you can also stream Satoshis as you listen at whatever rate you prefer, giving you complete control. The choice is yours. Just visit engineer.network/pragmatic to learn how you can help this show to continue to be made.
Nice. Thank you. Nice.
That's value for value.
Excellent. And I think all value for value segments should be done with Food Elise playing in the background.
Yeah, absolutely. He was actually playing that himself while talking.
That's hot.
No, I'm just kidding. So then the other one is How It's Done, Matt O'Dell, Citadel Dispatch.
I also want to thank all of the freaks who constantly support this show with their sats. I want to keep this show completely audience supported, with no ads and no sponsors. I think it aligns incentives the best, and I can't do that without your support, so I do appreciate that. The easiest way you can support the show is via Podcasting 2.0. You can look up different podcast apps that support that. That's newpodcastapps.com. And you can stream sats directly to the show as you're listening. It's pretty cool. As I see the day after I post it, I just see sats start coming into my wallet, just streaming in as people are listening. It's really fucking powerful. You can also support the show if you're watching the video stream through the LN URL, QR code on the bottom left-hand screen, bottom left of your screen, or going to citadeldispatch.com. You can support via tippin.me if you prefer Lightning, or you can support with the Samurai Paynim.
I think we need to change our t-shirts.
What? You want to put a QR code on it?
Well, no, I want to have Podcasting 2.0. It's pretty fucking powerful.
quote Matt O'Dell.
Matt O'Dell. Yes. Yeah.
No, anyway, I thought those were good sort of examples.
Well, that's how you do it. And thank you, Matt, for mentioning newpodcastapps.com. It took a long time for that to catch on.
Yeah, you know, Kyle Hebert does that too on every show. I'm going to get a clip of that as well. That's how you ask. You got to ask.
I dropped it on Rogan a couple times when I was there.
Oh, yeah.
It would make a difference.
What you want to talk about? So I've got another tag.
Yeah,
that I'm thinking may need to go into the next phase.
Well, right now, what tag needs love that is already existing and that I'll be able to support with the Castapod?
That's already existing, like in one of the existing phases?
Yeah, is there anything that's... I mean, it feels like location has not really taken off yet, or it's not understood, or, I mean, it's being used, but...
Location, man, you know what? I almost clipped something that would have been a perfect thing for location. And it was from Scientific American. They have a show that's like I think it's called Walking in National Park or something like that. And it's a walking tour, and he'll walk around, tell you a little bit about where he's at. and he'll stop and let you hear the nature sounds around you. That would have been perfect for chapters and location, because you can, I don't think some people know that you can put location data into its chapters.
Right, right. No, I don't think that's known. Yeah, we need more authoring going on for sure.
Yeah. We may, with when it comes to Castapod, we may just need to bail and create the feed from scratch rather than trying to import.
Oh.
Because we could just bring in, how many items do you keep, or past episodes do you keep in a feed? 10?
No agenda, I keep 10 because it's just too much. I used to put a lot of show notes in there. The feed was just so huge, it was costing me an arm and a leg. And then I met Dave Jones and he fixed that. On Podcasting 2.0, every single one is in the feed.
Oh, that's the whole feed then. Yeah.
It's tough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't you just start the new feed and then jackknife? Just jackknife all those items. You know what I mean, Dave? It's a technical term. Don't mess around with me. Jackknife that shit right in. Jackknife. Jackknife the rest of the feed into whatever's new at the bottom. Yeah, will that work?
I'll just use the jackknife command in Linux.
Are you do cat?
Cat. cat pipe jackknife.
Exactly.
Done. I don't know. What else? I mean, what else would be appropriate for our show? I mean, clearly we're already using chapters and transcripts and all that kind of stuff. And we don't have location. We're not really a location-based show.
No, but I just feel that this should be the show that supports every tag. I mean, this is the one. This is the flagship.
What would our location be?
Because
it's supposed to be what the location tag is supposed to be, what the show is about, not where the hosts live.
Well, that's what you say.
That is what I say.
Yeah. What if I mean, that's like saying the alternate enclosure is only for different fidelity rates. I said, that's what Cridlin says.
Well,
that's what I love about it. It can be used in different ways.
So what's the location? You're in Austin. I'm in, you're not in Austin anymore. You're in the Hill Country.
Yeah.
And I'm in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
The South.
Yeah, there you go. Location. It's a real big area. The South.
God's country.
I think you just put up one of those vaccination maps. You can see that we live in the places where it's bad.
The red zone.
Red zone. Red states that don't vaccinate. Yeah. That's where we live.
Okay. Well, I don't know. We could do that one. And then there's also, we should probably put in the podcast. Well, here's a good
person. I don't have persons. I don't have that yet.
Oh yeah. We need that. Yeah. We need that. We got to eat our own dog food on that.
For sure. All right. Anyway, other namespace stuff.
I thought you
had new stuff for phase 4 that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So the other ones I'm thinking of are the dynamic content tag. And this one was initially brought up a long time ago, I think, but then it was sort of resurrected in a different form by a guy who's a developer at Facebook who came onto the namespace repo and said that they really, for their podcast pages, they really want to be able to know if the audio for an item has dynamic insertion, because they want to know if they can trust the timestamps to be consistent. So basically what this would be is just be like a true false flag. Say does this item contain dynamic insertion? If it does, true. If not, or if the tag is missing, then false.
Wow, I feel like now we have to create something in our Bible to fix some stupid shit someone else does.
That's my immediate
response. Is like, okay, so you're inserting or have ads inserted dynamically, so now that has to be looked at. I mean, I don't know.
That's like half of RSS is fixing crap.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Fixing crap. Good point.
Okay. Well, Tanner Phelps, one of the things circling back on that, he kept using the term that, what we're doing here is furthering a frozen spec with reference to RSS.
Hmm.
Yes. RSS is a frozen spec, but the reason it's frozen is because all the further extensions to it need to happen in namespaces.
Yeah.
So we're not changing.
Which is what spec. iTunes did, by the way.
Yeah. It was frozen when iTunes did it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's something that everybody needs to understand. There's that one. And then there's also the block tag. I mean, we can go ahead and put that in.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a
What was blocked for again?
Well, that was the thing where it says I don't want my show listed on these platforms or these directories or whatever. And I actually had a good example of one this week. A guy emailed me and said, "Hey, my show is showing up on Podcast Index." And
it was a private feed that he knew wasn't really private, but it wasn't surfaced. Yeah. And he just wanted to say, hey, you know, of course we sucked. I mean, that's not us. That's our crazy Swede.
Oh yeah. The Swedish trickler.
The Swedish trickler. He's like, if you got a feed out there, it's not safe.
I'm going to find it.
He's going to find it.
If a feed exists anywhere, that it'll be
fine.
Find it.
It'll be fine.
And so, we somehow found it, sucked it in the index, and it was essentially a duplicate, but it was a members-only duplicate that he only wanted for his members, and he was surfacing it through Patreon or something like that. And so, you know, he even told it, yeah, like you said, he told us, he's like, well, you know, I know this is not the right way to do this, but that's, you know, I understand that, but can you just take it down for me? I said, you know, I said, yeah, sure.
So it's a block as in what directory you don't want it to show up in.
Yeah, it's like, okay, if these platforms are listed in the block tag, then I'd want them not to ingest my feed.
And what kind of standard do we set for the, is that just based on domain name?
Well, there's going to be there'd have to be some sort of slug list or something to identify that. Yeah. And it would have to be a community oriented thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. The only time I'm going to have a problem with it is if somebody starts using it abusively, and then at that point, I'm just going to ignore it. So anyway, that's my feeling on it. So I don't have a problem putting it in. I think it can be helpful. And for somebody on a source sort of level too, because if you know, you obviously got people that you're going to trust. So you have people like the hosting companies that are probably going to be fine, like Buzzsprout and these guys and Blueberry and, you know, Fireside. I mean, they're going to be they're trustworthy. They're not going to pull any shenanigans. But then you may have some new actor that comes in that tries to, you know, use it to somebody else's competitive disadvantage.
Yeah.
And for those, I'll just say, well, I'll continue to honor it for these other ones. But for this new guy who's, you know, screwing everybody over, I'll just ignore it for him.
Right. I wonder, Dave.
Dogs are people, too.
Do you need to go talk to him? he's barking up a storm in the background. I can hear you talking through it, but I know you hear it.
he's flipping out. Yeah, he's flipping out.
Does he need a moment? You need to talk to him?
Is it too distracting? I can go.
No, not for me. Not for me. I just, for you. That's fine.
We
accept pets and children in the boardroom. There's no problem here.
Yeah, let me go settle him down.
Okay. That's kind of mean, Dave. You don't have to do that. He's quiet, though, isn't he? He's real quiet.
He is dead quiet. I think we have stopped and started more on this one episode than ever.
We had a dog stop, a dimmer stop, and now the show's almost over.
A fuzzy audio interface stop.
Hey, you got any clips you want to play? I mean, you got so many here. I feel like we should be doing some of these at least.
Well, the problem is I've got like three threads of research going on at the same time. And I've got stacks of stuff over here that we're not able to get to. Like one thing I want to talk about at some point in the future, not today, is the anti-green, the anti-Bitcoin green stuff,
mm-hmm.
the thermal
yeah. The ESG rating, the...
But we can do that some other time. But I've got some stuff on that. But do you want to play? I've got another ISO.
ISO? Sure.
It's a boom what?
Boom what?
I don't know,
Dave. The boost was my favorite.
Boost!
And everyone's finger moves immediately. It's like a Pavlovian thing. You're sitting there, you're listening to this podcast, you're digging it, all of a sudden you hear...
Boost!
And you know you just got to hit the boost button. I see Martin has been boosting us a thousand times.
Oh, is he?
But he's still not getting the... the sats through, no.
Oh, he could be sending us 100,000 sats at a time and we don't even know it. But it's all my money anyway, so he's just giving it back to me.
This is what I love the most about our system. We're all sending money to each other all day long.
Literally. Yes.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I definitely refill. I refill at least once every week, maybe 10 days. But yeah.
A responsible development effort would create a test net and do all these things so that you're not using live funds.
No,
we don't
please.
Do that at
no,
all.
No. That's for pussies, man. This is real work here.
Yeah.
Only real men and women are allowed here. We don't mess around.
You're slinging $5 and $10 around at a time all the time.
Slinging. That's right. Hold on a second. I have a jingle for that, too.
You got a jingle for slinging stuff?
Well, when it comes to, slinging stuff. I think this.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Big baller. There you go.
That sounds like a MoFax clip.
Totally stolen from MoFax. Totally. Totally.
I liked how, you know what I had to tell? I had to, we were going to play this clip back when we were talking about the Spotify stuff earlier. There's a clip in here called Spotify Not My Issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've heard this, but this is sort of the inventor, so to speak, of Spotify's tech.
Oh, yes, I have heard, or I read a transcript of some of this. Yeah, very interesting.
Okay, well, this is the clip, if you want to play it now. So this is, what is her name? Jana something, who is a music artist. And she's asking him to consider giving artists a 1 cent per stream additional royalty.
Like a bonus for starting up a stream, give him a penny.
Yeah, and so this was his response.
Maybe you consider the idea of having a $10 a month service plus 1 cent per song would make people so much more money, and everybody is really broke. Well, the artists are broke. We're not making any money off of the streams, and I know that you know this, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just saying,
yeah,
1 cent is really not even that much money. If you add 2 million times 0.01, it's still not that much. And, like, if you would just consider...
I'm going to go down this road, you know that.
Do I go down the entitlement road now, or do I wait a minute?
Well, you know what? I think that you should do what you need to do. Yeah, what you feel you need to do.
So... Maybe I should go down the entitlement road now, or should I wait a few minutes?
You want to wait a few minutes? Maybe take another question.
You guys want to talk about entitlement now, or do we talk about
it now? Just go for it.
Hit it.
I don't think it's entitlement to ask for, like, normal rates like before.
Normal rates?
No, it's ideas to make it a win-win situation for all parties.
Okay, so we should talk about entitlement. I mean, I have an issue.
Did she just describe what we want to do? Make it a win-win for all parties.
Yes, exactly.
I love this guy. Entitlement.
He's being a real jerk.
Oh, totally. What do you know? What the setting of this is? What was this like?
Some music technology conference or something like that. I forget the name of it, but okay. I'll find it.
All right. All parties.
Okay. So we should talk about entitlement. I mean, I have an issue with Taylor Swift's comments. I have this issue with it, and we'll call it entitlement. I mean, I consider myself an artist because I'm an inventor, okay? Now, I freely give away my patents for nothing. I never collect royalties on anything. I think that Taylor Swift doesn't need 0.000001 cent more a stream. The problem is that Spotify was created to solve a problem. The problem was this: piracy and music distribution. The problem was to get artists' music out there, to solve a problem. The problem was not to pay people money.
But now
it's a problem. The problem was to distribute music, not to give you money. Okay? The problem was to distribute music.
That's great.
The deals, I mean, those aren't our problems.
People would pay 1 cent a song. It's literally 1 cent.
Right, but you don't understand. The deal is this, ready? If the infrastructure doesn't work, that's not my issue. This world right now we live in is built also on entitlement. Right now, today, everybody here in this younger world here, everybody seems to think about entitlement.
It's not the same.
What do you mean not the same?
Entitlement is when you want more than is normal.
Correct.
We're getting way less than normal.
Well, what do you think is considered the norm right now?
When you were young, that was a normal. People made money off of selling songs that they worked really hard on for a really long time. And now we're basically giving it away for free. It's just about compassion. It's about win-win situations. The best business deals are win-win. And there's, you solved a problem, but now there's another one. And I'm just saying, you're here, and I'm not trying to like attack whatever you're doing, but I'm not going to agree with you and say that musicians are entitled because they don't want to be flat broke.
Ah, the future of podcasting on Spotify, in a nutshell.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the attitude. They are like their owners, which are mainly, yes, they're a public company. But all the record companies got shares pre-IPO. They're all in it. And they don't care. That's what I've always said.
If you're the key phrase in there was, if the infrastructure, and he says infrastructure, but what he means is like the system of getting paid.
Mm.
If the infrastructure doesn't work, that's not my issue.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
And I agree. And that's why we built our own infrastructure.
Yeah, because that's the way Spotify looks at artists, and not just them, all the platforms. That's the way they look at artists, and that's the way they will look at podcasters.
And I guarantee you, even in default mode, for my default mode, Abel Kirby and his band, the Abel Kirbyites. Wait, they have a real name, don't they?
The podcast, that's it, the Abel Kirbyites.
No, you're kidding me.
No. I'm just screwing around. No, it's the Ablecraft.
Ablecraft. Oh, that's the podcast, Ablecraft.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, make a lot more than one penny per stream.
Oh yeah.
You know, do a 4-minute song. I'll be sending you some real money, and I'll be boosting you.
Oh, and it'll be a lot more than 99 cents on iTunes too.
And she said it right now. She said, "People are more than willing to pay for that." Absolutely. Absolutely. The problem is Spotify doesn't know how to chop that penny in half and take half of it. If they could do that in real time, it might be interesting to them. Yeah, but, and I don't fault them for it at all. That's fine.
No, that's fine.
But yeah, the history sometimes repeats, but more often than not, it rhymes, and we've been around this circle. We've been through it. So that means that it's going to be tremendously successful, even more. What do we have, 387 value-enabled podcasts now?
So that's, we need to have Brian of London on the show.
Yeah, he created like 100 accounts in video or something that he's going to own. All the sats belong to me.
Yeah, I was really curious about that. I was like, how exactly you have this set up? I'm monetizing all of 3Speak myself.
Yeah, well, that's, hey.
Entrepreneurism.
I love him.
No, but we need to have him on the show because that is a really cool project. And I would like to hear him talk about that and how he's, sort of how he's building that whole thing. Because he's using Podping for ingestion. It's just a really cool thing. The only thing is we have to rate limit him.
Yes, because he's going one, nuts.
No. I'm saying like him personally. You have to rate limit him if on the show to one mention of Hive per minute and no more.
I see. I wasn't even going to say it. I was just going to be nice for once. But Brian's while great. While we're talking about that, how is the uptake of Podping?
We're still at
stagnant.
Five hosts. But, I got to give I got to go give Dan Benjamin some static because he said he was going to do it, and he left me out in the cold. So it's still on his to-do list.
He's probably over there with David Norman and Ray from Breeze, and they're all having their own party. Just like, look at those guys. What are they doing? Yeah. Look at them sweat for nothing.
We're doing better than Meghan Markle and Harry. They've only made one episode of a show with their $25 million contract.
All right. Gosh, golly gee. I think we've got most of the stuff out. And it was a busy week, but good stuff. Real good stuff happening. I'm so excited about the comments. I think that's going to be huge. And I just love seeing more podcasts coming online with the value block. And we've been working real hard. I should say we, but Eric has been working really, really hard in that back end. And the new website is looking mighty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really is. Nice. And then, we took on a chief communications officer who I happened to be sleeping with. And
I'm sleeping with my kid's teacher. So
yeah. and so I added her to our Signal channel. It's just the three of us, and added. And she's like, last night she went, "Oh my God! No wonder you're always typing on your phone. You're like a bunch of girls with all this chatter." I said, "Okay, all right. No, no, no. We're putting up a sign. Girls suck. Backwards S. You know, keep out. Stay out.
Yeah. Stay out of the fort."
And to be honest, some of the stuff that we put in there, I'm sure she's like, what does that even mean?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. No girls in the tree fort.
No. But she is going to help us with... She's going to help us with getting the message out. And really, how do we market what podcasting 2.0 is? And I believe it'll start with the apps. I think that's the best way. And I'd love for Podcast Index, and I'd love for us to be able to provide, you know, more marketing than, you know, we already do. You know, you're out there tweeting, I'm out there doing shows. That's kind of the extent of it.
Well, speaking of girls in the tree fort, Stephanie Fuccio wrote a really good article to her newsletter, just telling all about the Podcast Index.
And, yes, I saw that. That was all another good article. Yeah.
Yeah. And she had gotten some quotes from people. I guess she just went and asked for them from Mark Asquith and Jennifer Neveretti and the co-founder of Headliner. It's a good article. It's at thepodcasthost.com. /publishing, submit your podcast to the Podcast Index. So go check that out. It's really good. And I appreciate Stephanie. She's really kind.
That's super. Yeah. I just love it when people get it and then write about it. And it just keeps the flywheel is already rolling. We just need to spin it faster.
Yeah, we need an El Salvador podcast, don't we? Don't we need one of those hooked up to Value Block?
I think we should do a business trip and go check it out. Go to the Bitcoin Beach, see what's happening.
I've got a buddy who is going to El Salvador. He's going down there. Yeah, he's going down there for a job, and he just got the vaccine. Mm-hmm. He already had COVID back in December, and so he was not going to get the vaccine because he's like, I've already had COVID and I've recovered.
Then he had to get it for travel.
So what he said was, when typically, if you go down, they do PCR tests coming back. So it's like, you know, those are so bad to give you a false positive. And so he said that when you go down to El Salvador, and if you PCR test positive before you get on the plane, you have to quarantine for a month before you come back.
Holy crap.
He was like, oh my God, I'm not risking this.
Well,
so he got the vaccine, and he said it was awful. He said it was worse than having COVID because he had like 103 fever and all this stuff for like 4 days. He was like, he's fine now, but he was like, oh, this is awful.
When we went to Mexico, you had to have a test coming back to the United States, PCR test. Mm-hmm. And so they do that at the resort we were staying at. And I said, you know, so what happens if we test positive? And I said, don't worry, Mr. Curry, you're not going to test positive. because they then have to pay for your extended stay.
Oh.
So they have an incentive to give you a good test.
Yeah. But don't worry. It will be fine. You will not be here next week, I promise you. That's awesome.
Well, I can't wait to see what pops up this week. Thanks to everybody on podcastindex.social, everybody contributing, all ships at sea, everybody who is getting the word out. And thank you, Dave. And thank you, Eric. And everybody I forgot in my prayers.
I'll tell, who is that? Andy Lehman. I'll tell the story about the Freedom Controller URL shortener snafu. I'll tell that next week.
Ooh, okay. That's yeah. Sounds like it's going to be a fun one.
Okay. No, it's not that fun.
Okay. All right, everybody. That's it for Podcasting 2.0 for this week. We'll be back next week. We'll do it again on Friday. Looking forward to see you then. Thank you all so much. Podcastindex.org, podcastindex.social. See you next week.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Boom!